Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David and Vicki will visit with Dr. Les Anderson, Extension Professor, Beef Cattle Reproductive Physiology, to discuss the new Extend Record Keeping app. And as always, we will wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us, and hope you enjoy the show. How you doing, David?
I'm doing good, Vicki. I threw that in there. Thought I'd trip you up on the introduction, but you did really well with that.
I see how you do me. I understand.
Yeah. Well, so
pass the test.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about one of Vicki's favorite subjects, and she loves to talk livestock stuff because this is her. This is like in her backyard, you know. This is really her thing, and she really loves to talk about this. And but we're going to have a good conversation.
That's exactly
it's going
right.
to be a good day.
Yeah, I do like livestock. I've come a long way from being a grains girl. I've come a long way.
A lot of great livestock programs in this area.
That's right.
A lot of great ones.
Yeah. That's right. And we're missing Jay again. He is out delivering stuff to Eastern Kentucky.
That's right.
So we appreciate him being out there and doing that, and just keep remembering those folks over there. It's going to be a long road to recovery. And
it is.
You know, a lot of agriculture things got really messed up during that time. We talked to a guy that's a county agent over there, and I forget what county Chad is in. Chad Conway.
Not
county.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm not mistaken, he lost all his cows.
And I think his son lost all his chickens,
yeah. And it was pretty rough.
So I've been to Chad's a few times. And actually, we just bred cows there as part of a gender control project. So we synchronized them, A item and A item, two bulls where we were going to, you know, that the semen had been sorted so that we were going to get predominantly steers. And the working facility that we were in wiped out.
Yeah,
because it was kind of down in the little valley near a creek. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think that's where his mom lived, but he and his son lived further up the hill.
I think that's the way I understood it, but his house is okay.
Yeah, but his mom
lost it all.
Yeah. And I tell you, I mean, you know, just coming from the tornado in West Kentucky, and, you know, David and I, you know, we worked and helped, especially over in Hopkins County, a good bit with that. And, you know, the destruction there was horrific as well. But, when we think about the flooding and just how powerful water is. I mean, you know, you're talking about roadways and infrastructure that's gone, and, you know, and tornadoes, not diminishing the effect of that at all, but you still have your roadways and you still have that infrastructure. And from what I'm, you know, reading from Eastern Kentucky, a lot of that is just not there. And like you were talking about, some of the electrical lines or water lines and,
yeah.
You know, just it's just very devastating, and those folks really.
And I think the RCAR Center in Eastern Kentucky is, if I'm not mistaken, Daniel Wilson, who is one of the director over in that area in the Eastern region. I think Jay said he had like 6 inches of mud in his office, and smelt just terrible. He said it was really bad. So
five employees of RCAR's lost their homes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just on a county review tour last week, which is
everyone should do that, right?
It's the third time I've had to do it.
I, you know, it's three times too many.
Sooner or later, my name will stop coming up on that garbage. But anyhow, Chuck Stamper was in that group too, and of course his office is there at Robinson Experiment Station. And it's kind of like the tornado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I came in, of course, you know, we bred cows on that Friday, and we finished at 3 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, the tornado just wiped it all out, you know, and spun some of those cows, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And we came in on Monday, and you can't imagine, I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you see Twister. You know, you can't really imagine the devastation until you see it firsthand.
That's right.
And he said, just, you know, you can see the pictures on TV and all that stuff. He said, you just really, You cannot wrap your head around it unless you see it, and it's just, you know, it's a total loss. Yeah.
And you still can't wrap your head around it when you see it. I mean, mm-hmm. I know the first time that I was in the tornado, you know, area there in Dawson Springs, I mean, I was dumbfounded, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, because even though you're seeing it, you're still like, how did this happen? You know, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to.
Jay was telling us, he was texting Vicky and I this morning. He said that, you know, a lot of the water lines that were, you know, buried in the ditches, obviously beside the road, because that's the only place there is for them to be buried. You know, if you've been in that part of the country, he said they were all floated out, washed out, and all in a big wad in the woods, you know, from the flooding. So, you know, obviously all that water has to go somewhere. When you live in that type of area, it's going one place. And, yeah. I mean, it's just very unusual to have that amount of water at one time. So,
yeah, but we'll, the good part is that people always step up, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. the ag community particularly always steps up and, yeah. and really helps where, and lends their hand when needed. And I have no doubt that that's going to happen in Eastern Kentucky, mm-hmm. just like it does anytime there's a disaster. And so, but it's
that's a good thing.
Yeah, yep. just going to be a little bit of time getting there. So, yep. Well, you have already joined in on us in our conversation, and that's great. And I'm glad for you to do that. So just, you know, why don't you just go ahead and let our listeners know, you know, a little bit about you, who you are, kind of what you do, and you know, and just so they can get to know you a little bit.
You bet, Vicky. As Vicky mentioned, Dr. Les Anderson, work at the University of Kentucky. They're out of the Lexington office. I guess you could say I work out of the office.
Depends on what your office is called.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, what you call an office.
If it looks like the inside of a car, then that's probably. Yeah. But anyhow, my office is supposed to be on campus. And my job is to, as one of the beef cattle specialists, is to help folks with the reproductive management of their herd. Didn't really plan on being an extension, I'll be honest with you. Grew up on a farm. We did, you know, I had about 300 cows and anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 acres of row crop at home. And if anybody that farmed in the late 70s, 80s, and early 90s understands that it was a really tough time to be in farming.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I told myself I didn't want to go through that stress and be that poor my whole life, just to be honest about it. You know, and so, but I loved ag, kept going, went to the University of Missouri, then got my master's at Iowa State, actually in swine physiology.
No kidding.
I did not know that either.
That's
and
neat.
Then went to Ohio State. Got my PhD there, worked a ton with cattle, and I managed farms all the way along the way because you don't make any money in graduate school. And
For sure.
We started having kids really quick, so I had to find ways to do cheap housing, and a little extra work's not such a big deal. So anyway, yeah. Got the job offer here in 97, moved down in June of 97, and didn't realize what a blessing that was going to be. I love it down here. Didn't know what extension was till I came to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Working here with, you know, Dr. Burris and Dr. Bullock and Dr. Lim Cooler and Dr. Van Valen and Kevin Laurent and just everybody in the entire college, really, as far as the specialists go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just an incredible group of people, and I love working here. I know you guys know I travel a lot for my job. I don't like to sit in the office. We joked about it before, but I went back as part of a little review process the other day, and I actually have had averaged slightly more than one farm visit a day of employment.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I doubt kinda, there's anybody
that's
that,
cool. I bet anybody else can't say that.
No, I bet.
Yeah,
really
it's kind of cool. You know, you just, of course, you don't like to count back 25 years. But, you know.
Did you challenge your other specialist to come up with that number? Did you kind of throw it out there and say, hey, boys, look at this? Yeah.
No, we've all got our own roles and our own way of doing our jobs. And they tease me about being on the road all the time. But, you know, working with folks is it's almost like farming, just to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, you said you didn't know what extension was till you came here, but, you really, you know, obviously you liked it because you've been here that long. But I think, you know, I think when we're in extension, you like being around people.
Well, I heard Dr. Coffey, Dr. Richard Coffey, who has left us now and went on to Oklahoma State. He told me one time, he said, you know, the thing that I, he said it wasn't always about the programs. It was about the people.
It's always
and
about
he,
the people.
Yeah, and he said it was about working with the people that I really enjoyed. So, I mean, that I think we get away from that sometimes, and we need to remember that pretty regular.
Well, you know, the world hasn't been too kind to being around people lately.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and it, in these county reviews that I was joking about earlier and other interactions that, you know, we have with, I have with our agents, you know, the return has been a little slow.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we really, you know, extension is only as strong as the connection between the agents and the people in the counties.
That's right.
And I, you know, I was in Ohio, I was in Iowa, I was in Missouri. They don't have extension.
Yeah.
They have people that work in extension, but they don't have extension like we do.
Yeah.
And it's the what separates us in Tennessee from the entire rest of the world is our incredible county presence.
Yep.
And you know, I saw it last week, you know, in those counties that I reviewed, you know, there were some just incredible things going on in the county, and extension in a lot of our counties is just, it really is an integral component, and it's just woven into the fabric of the entire community.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to see that, and you know, that gives us a chance to, you know, to help people, because if you go all the way back to, you know, when, you know, extension was created by the federal government, it was to educate the masses.
Yep.
Because folks couldn't afford to go to college.
Yep.
You know, very small percentage of the population went then. And that was our job, was to take
the information
instruction
to the people
out. And you're not doing that if you're not getting out.
That's right.
So
can't do it in the office all the time for sure.
Yeah. No, you can't. And you said it exactly right. I've, you know, some of us that's been around a little bit longer serve as mentors for some younger agents, that, you know, newer agents that's coming on board. And you know, one of the things that, you know, I always try to tell them is, you know, what we do, it's about building relationships, because if you don't build that relationship, then you're not going to be part of their team. And you want to be part of their team because you want to be the ones that they're calling for information. And if they don't know who you are and you haven't built that relationship, then you're not going to be on that team. And I think that's a key part of successful extension at the county level and beyond.
Yeah, even the state level. I got in, and Roy, you know, he and I we spent 3-4 days just on the road, taking me to
meet different folks,
100 farmers maybe, but it's probably pretty close.
Yeah,
we went all over down here, and you know, his opinion at that time, and it's really, you know, everybody up there is, you know, we have to have those relationships, because someday, right, we may need them.
That. That's right.
To come back to us a little bit.
Yep.
That's right.
And that's kind of where we're at right now. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Sure.
We're ready for those relationships to come back. So.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
Well, Les, I know we could talk about this all day. We could just have a whole podcast about what we're talking about right now. But, you know, we're here to kind of talk about the program that you've helped develop, this Extend app for our phones and our record keeping for beef cattle. Talk to us a little bit about how all that process started and kind of the backstory before we really get into the meat of it.
You bet, David. Back in 2012, just to give you the kind of the whole origin story of this thing, we took a bunch of cattlemen, the agents, and it was over 100 people to this leadership conference, and we sat down for 3 days and we developed programs and identified weaknesses. But the whole point is, when we came back, every county would have a program, a new program that they were going to do for beef cattle in their area. And Don Sorrell, who was the ag agent in Campbell County at the time, what they wanted to do was they wanted to do what they called the Northern Kentucky Reproductive Efficiency Program. And so the long and short of it is a little bit of lecture, but there was a 5-county area, and they wanted three farms in each of those counties. And Don's goal was let's get on these farms, identify their weaknesses, and implement one or two practices that they're not doing that they should be doing, and we'll demonstrate it. So we'll have a field day when we're there. We'll implement it, and we'll come back a year or two later, and we'll show everybody what the result was of doing that. Great, great idea, great program. Love doing it. What we figured out was we didn't have anything to keep records.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's still one farm, but now we got 15 farms. And it just, I looked at every available app or platform, and they were either really expensive or really complicated, or in most cases, both.
Mm-hmm.
So
we and oftentimes financial. It's financial records instead of production records.
Exactly. I mean, we've been doing beef cattle production well over 100 years, organized cattle production. And yet, the best estimate is that 10% of beef producers actually keep good records.
I don't doubt that.
So, you know, it was kind of a big task, and there were programs available, but again, it's got to be simple. It's got to be really easy, and it's got to be inexpensive. Because if you give anybody an excuse, they're not going to do it. So anyway, this program in Northern Kentucky, we just did it all on Excel, and I was joking earlier with you guys that I keep saying we. There wasn't a whole lot of we to it. Ben Kreitz, who was our extension associate at the time, he did all the actual physical entry and record keeping for these folks. And what we taught them is, you know, we can look at these records and we can actually make management decisions based on these records. And so then the Northern Kentucky program evolved into the Eastern Kentucky program. Then it evolved into the UK IRM farm program. And at its peak, we had 147 farms and almost 9,000 cows. That gets really difficult to manage.
Mm-hmm.
To get all those records in, and we created some little precursor kind of programs, mm-hmm. but I really needed something, and the industry has needed something for a long time to help try to move that needle. But as we talked about, I mean, it's been a problem forever. Less than 10% of our cattlemen actually use records, and probably fewer use records to make decisions, and so. If we want something that's available to people that they could use, we need to give them something a little more.
Right.
And so at that time, I know you both know we were calling it iCow,
mm-hmm.
but then we decided to change to Extend X10D. And we did that because what we really want to do is we want to connect the beef industry. First, we want to connect all the users to the extension service, because we are the last bastion of unbiased information in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
that's exactly right.
I mean, what do you do when you want to learn something?
Call the extension office. I mean, because I knew that's where I'm gonna get I'm gonna look it up on the extension website, because I know that's where I'm gonna get the information, the unbiased information.
What I was fishing for was Google and YouTube.
Oh, well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true, too.
I mean,
that's what a lot of people do. That's exactly right. Google it.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time. Google. Well, I'll just Google it.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is just a stupid example, but it's 100% on. Last year, I needed to clean the mold off my vinyl siding, and I wanted an easier way than what I'd been doing. Well, I spent hours looking at like 50 YouTube videos, and I found one eventually that was really good.
Yep.
And it helped me a ton.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. But it was hours.
Yep.
I would really like to just say, all right, let me get on the vinyl you know, extension service thing, hit go and have it right there. And I can trust that as the best method. And so, you know, we need to keep people connected and actually even improve our connection between extension and its clientele. The other thing we want to do is we want to connect the industry to itself. User to user. So, Vicki, I don't remember how many people in Webster County Cattlemen's, but
yeah,
100?
Yeah. Well, maybe not that many, but at least 50. 80, yeah,
50. You know, I assume all 50 of them would really like to know what's going on with the extension office all the time, but also kind of connect with their fellow cattlemen in the county or in the region, if you want to go by a region. And so we want to connect. We wanted a device that connected people to the extension service, people to people, and then people to their data. And so that's what Extend really is. There's three components of it, and it's all designed. It's really designed to be that connection tool. And you know, if you don't want to keep records, that's fine. You still may want to know what's going on at the extension office, or you may want to know what's going on in your county.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. And so that's kind of where we're at with the app. We spent a lot of time kind of brainstorming and trying to figure this stuff out. We went to the Ag Development Board because, you know, the Ag Development Board has, since 2000, funded the best educational opportunities and some risky ventures, really, if you think about some of the stuff that they've funded. But that, I mean, that's the purpose.
Sure it is.
You never know when you're going to move a needle. And, you know, I know you're never going to move it if you're not trying to push it. And so, anyhow, we went there, and the great Warren Beeler at that time was the chair. And Warren gave me some incredible advice, and he said, look, you need to go out and meet with the counties. So I met with over 60 counties. Sometimes it was just the agents. Sometimes it was the whole office. Sometimes it was the entire County Ag Development Council. Mm-hmm. And we really shaped what we thought would work. Went back to Warren. We got $200,000 to develop the app, and it took 2 years. But we finally got it running. And we opened it up, launched it on March 14th. Done a little bit of pub, not a ton, mainly because our workforce is pretty small.
Yep. Right.
Yep. And it's very difficult to do a lot of that, you know, a lot of that, and our regular jobs. And so we've kind of been word of mouth up until, you know, until we can find some ways to get some more assistance in to help us really expand.
Yeah. You know, and I've said all along that you almost need somebody full time, you know, promoting this program and getting the word out to folks about this program. I mean, it would certainly be a good thing if you had somebody like that. Obviously, in the university setting, we're not going to have anybody like that. But, you know, we do the best we can, as we always do in extension. We rely on agents and those type of things to get the word out. So, you know, hopefully we're going to be able to do, as we move along through this process, hopefully we'll be able to get the word out to folks about this.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Vicki.
Well, and, you know, it's just like anything else, new programs or anything else, you look at it like a new program. I mean, it's going to take some folks getting behind it and pushing it, and it's going to take some time to get off the ground. You know, sometimes, you know, our best programs, the first time you roll it out, it may be a small crowd. You know, when you think about it that way, you know, we don't always get the sold out crowd the first time we try to do something, but that doesn't mean that program isn't worthy of doing again. And sometimes it just takes the right people behind it to push it. And, you know, and I think too, you know, we're in a different way of learning, and obviously that's why you developed an app. You know, you all work toward developing an app, because that's the way this world works now. A large portion, you know, there's, you know, for a long time we've heard that there's an app for that. But it's true. There is an app for that for almost everything. But our clientele is still, not all of our clientele is to that point. And I think that's too, you know, that it's going to take a little bit of a time for that to, you know, to catch up. But I think that you're definitely going in the right direction, because, you know, we've all got to adapt to being where the people are and how they want to learn.
We went slow on purpose, and we're still going slow. I'm not going to lie to you. And again, it's still on purpose.
Sure.
A couple of things I've learned about, you know, IT or tech, or I don't even know what you want to call it. Because I'm not a tech guy.
I'm with you.
Me
not
either.
I like to teach, but I'm not a tech guy. A couple of things I learned. Number one, it's really expensive. I mean, that $200,000, and, you know, we have that meeting tonight. I'll pull up just one report, and it's a really cool report. It's $35,000. You know, to get the programmers to
fix it where it would pull it up.
One report in a huge app that will record and report everything. But that was one report. And so, I mean, this stuff is really expensive. Main reason that we're going slow is I want to be able to have time to identify, as no programming is perfect. Mm-hmm. When the issues come up, we need to be able to identify them and handle them and correct them. And if we launch to 50,000 people at once,
yep,
we'll get overwhelmed.
Right.
That's the way it's going to die. And I would rather grow slow and communicate with the people that have the app and really grow that user base, and then at some point in time, Vicki, it's gonna take off.
But you know, that's no different than what we tell new farmers that call us. When somebody calls and they want to start a new venture, you know, most of us are going to say, start small and expand.
Yeah.
Because so you don't get overwhelmed and you don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
Minimal viable product is the actual business term for that stuff. And it really is. It's on purpose, but also, I mean, we've had a lot of learning to do and how to get all this stuff done. And my main goal right now, okay, is I want to get my extension offices connected with their users. That's my main goal. I want information to flow from us to you to them in a seamless and convenient fashion, mainly because everybody is having a problem with getting people back to the office.
Yeah.
And you think about it, say, well, okay, are we going to be able to get them back to the office? I don't know. But you know what? We can connect with them anyway. We can connect with them anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The big thing, you know, is I'm in my mid-50s. I connect, Vicki, with people face-to-face.
Me too.
I like that eye to eye. I like to see the reaction on their face. That's when I know that I'm having a connection. Not that way with my kids.
Mm.
My kids are all about the phone. You actually a personal connection to one of, and my kids are, my oldest is in her 30s. A personal connection to the kids is a text.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With an emoji.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're right.
Yep.
That's
you're exactly
that's
right.
That's what personal is to them. And I was talking about my 81-year-old mother. My 81-year-old mother's personal connection is her phone, because she can talk to her grandkids, me, my brother, you know, and she really can't get out that much, but she is connected because of that phone. And so I'm very, very convinced that if we want to grow extension, if we want to grow our influence, if we want to move the needle, we have to connect, and we have to connect with what connection is today, and that's the phone. And then, you know, when us old fogies want to get together and have a meeting, then we can still get together and have a meeting. But, you know, I really think that if we provide incredible amount of really good content and lead those discussions in our user groups, I think that'll bring people into the office. Yeah. I think that'll make your phone ring. We're unique here in that we have a lot of visibility for extension, but we don't have 100% coverage.
Oh, that's true. No, yeah. That's right.
As far as just visibility, but people knowing who we are, what we do, what's available, and all that stuff. Connect. Yeah. Let's connect with them. Let's connect and let's make it easy for them. And then the next thing you know, oh, wait, I can take a calving record on this thing? Well, yeah. All right. You know? Yeah.
And I mean, and if, like you said, keeping it simple, you know, and being able to keep records on there, but it not being, you know, because let's face it, if you're going to do it on Excel, like a lot of our producers have done, I know I've got a beef IRM project in my county, and, you know, and I've kept those Excel records for them year after year after year. And it's you're out there and you're getting the records and you're writing them down on my clipboard and piece of paper. And got all my notes on it. Then you got your field work. Then you're gonna have to go back to the office, and then you're gonna get that back out, and then you got to type it all in and double check it and make sure it's right. And you got a lot of time investment. And then sometimes there might be a little space of time between getting it from that sheet of paper to that Excel file, you know. And then that's you get like you said, you get overwhelmed. You say, forget it, I'm not doing it. But if you can do it on that app and do it right there in the field, then it's one step instead of two or three.
The coolest part about this app, this platform, is it has the most user-friendly interface for data collection and management that you can imagine. If all you want to keep is base records, it will take you less than 10 button pushes to put those in. And if you want to report on any group, 4 button pushes total. Every report available, you can see exactly how much you fed them, how much mineral you fed them, what you vaccinated them for. If you took the picture, you know what you vaccinated them against. Mm-hmm. You'll have all that information. 4 button pushes, and it really, you know, because I've practiced it, right? I've done it. It's less than a minute a day. Less than 1 minute a day. Every record. On your phone, any report, right there.
Right.
Les, tell us a little bit. Just give us a kind of a brief rundown of some of the stuff that folks can keep up with right there in the field on their phone. Okay. Just what are just a few of the things? I mean, you don't have to run through all of them, obviously, sure. But if you run through some of them.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, we'll just start at the beginning. I mean, you know, you set up your profile, you put all your pastures in, you put all your locations in, and so forth. Once you get that done, then you put your animals in. And this is what takes time. So if you've got 20 cows, okay, and you've got one big farm, but you've got it divided up into 6 or 8, it'll take you about 2 hours to put it all in. But after that, let's say you turn the bull into those 20 cows, okay, it takes 20 seconds to record that. Right after you shut the gate and you watch him run out there with the cows, you pull up that group, it automatically does the date for you. You select the sire, the date you turned him out, and you hit go.
Done.
So once you're set up, everything's set up, I mean, you're just button, it's quick.
It is less than 1 minute a day. And so calving records, breeding records, feeding records, vaccination records, health records, feedlot records, carcass records, replacement heifer, BSEs for your herd sires, every single thing that you will want to keep a record on, hay production, forage, your grazing,
fertilizer costs,
all that stuff. Yeah. Okay. One of the neatest things about this, one of the things that I like the most about the program is when we're entering data, it becomes extremely monotonous that you have to do the same thing over and over to every single group, every single cow in a group. Not with this app. If you got a group of cows, let's say you got 50 cows running in the Webster field or whatever, okay? The old Webster field down by the, you know, whatever. If you vaccinated them all today, you only have to enter it one time. And it goes into all 50 cows' records. And then if you move a cow from the old Webster field to the new Henderson field, that record goes with her. So it's not a group record. It's an individual record applied to the entire group. And so if you're AI, if you're AI into the same bowl, 200 cows, you make one entry.
Right.
And it's 30 seconds to make that entry.
Yeah.
If you buy a set of steers in, all right, you if you buy them in and you treat them all the same, you're making one entry instead of 20. Because that, I mean, that's a pain, right?
Yeah, it is.
If you gotta sit there, why folks don't want to do it.
Yeah, and now when you're preg checking, because you could preg check, the app's got an annual evaluation. When you preg check, that's an individual thing.
Right.
Well, sure.
Yep.
Right? So, and if you treat a calf or a cow that got sick, that's an individual thing. That's not a whole herd thing.
Right.
But, you know, the things that need to be individual are individual. The things that you can do to the whole group that are common to the whole group, one dime. Because it's got to be easy. It's got to be simple.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can take pictures of vaccines that you are using and upload that to your database.
Yep.
And then it'll just pull it up, and it goes with that group of cows.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, it sure does. So, I mean, you can print out the report just, you know, on a PC. But we, and one of the things that we have to get done just as soon as we get a little bit of extra money here, which you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the vision was always to have that little share button. We have a share button on everything, right? I want a share button. And so, you know, if you're getting ready to take a load of calves to Owensboro or down to Guthrie or whatever, and you want to share with that Stockyards, your vaccination report. You just hit the share button. If they're part of the group, go straight to them.
That's nice.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, and they can see the pictures. They know what you vaccinate. If you took a picture of the lot number and the expiration date, you see it right there.
Yep.
You know, it goes for implants. It goes, you know, any sort of pharmaceutical that you're administering. Minerals, you can take a picture of the mineral tag. You can take a picture of your... Now, eventually, we want forage analysis to go in. We want, you know, feed analysis to go in so that we can do a simple ration balancing program.
Yep.
Right.
But, again, that's takes money.
Money.
Takes
money.
Money.
It's going to get there. I mean, eventually, this will be the coolest tool you could possibly imagine in a beef cattle. You know, I even want an alert, right? Right. So if what you're feeding it is not meeting its requirements, we get a little red thing going, hey.
Yeah, something doesn't look right.
Hey, you might be a little short here. Yeah. You better check your ration, you know, and that way, because if you're entering, again, it takes, if you're, so I'm leaving the old Webster farm, just drop 3 bales and a bag of mineral at the old Webster farm. It takes you 30 seconds to put that in, and so that, the computer knows what age. I mean, if you put the body condition score, like if you put all that in there, and then it can compare where that cow is with what you're feeding it, whether it's the hay, because, you know, so, I mean, we're not there yet, but we're going there. Also, we're going to move two different directions with ID. Because believe it or not, ID is the hardest part about all this stuff. That was one of the first lessons that Ben and I had in mass record keeping. 25% of the cows would disappear. Okay? And we couldn't figure out why in the world we had all these cows that we AI'd, but when we preg checked, we had cows that were not on the AI list that were preg checked and cows that were vice versa, right? Well, what was happening? And we just watched a little more. Cow would come in without a tag. The guy would just grab a tag,
new tag,
put it in the ear, and off she goes. because she needed to have a tag in her ear, but we didn't need to really know who she was, right? Why would you want to know who she is? Just put a tag in her ear. But anyhow, we're moving towards, because your phone can actually read the EIDs, so you could swipe your phone right over their ear, the ID automatically goes in. Josh Jackson is working with facial recognition, right? Because if you've got an iPhone, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you just put that in front of them, and we have a place in the programming for that to occur.
Right.
So that Cal comes in, she's in the chute, you just stick it up in front, boom. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so her ID is automatically in there, and you don't really have to worry about it.
I think about, you know, with everything you're saying about the app and everything that you can do with it, I mean, it's a huge benefit to the producer, and we know that, and we know that that's the main goal of that. But as an extension agent, I'm sitting here thinking of all the teachable moments from the information that you can get from that, because I do believe sometimes that, you know, just like on the record keeping side, it's not so much that the producers don't want to keep the records, it's that the producers don't know how to keep the records. And I think they know I think they do have an idea that it's beneficial, but it's just connecting, how do I do that? And then a lot of these same producers also are working off the farm. You know, they're not full-time farmers, so they've got a day job, and they've got their cattle business on the side, so they've got a limited amount of time, and it just becomes too much to handle. And
totally agree.
You know, and I think this app is one of those things that, you know, it's obviously going to help them, but I think for us in Extension, it's also a tool that we can use, you know, just a lot of teachable moments, I guess, in there that I'm hearing.
Yeah. I think it's going to really change how we do things. It's going to change how our farmers do things. Just looking back at the farm program, I mean, what we did with the farm program is Ben, Dan Miller, Glenn Williams, and I, we were the crew. We connected those producers with information. That information was, you know, we gave them information, we taught them, we connected them with information, we kept records and showed them how to keep records, but most importantly, we showed them how to use those records to make management decisions, and then we looked at how much more money they made.
Mm-hmm. Right.
147 farms, the average after the second year was a 34% increase in gross revenue. So you went from $10,000 gross revenue to $15,000. Mm-hmm. 34%. Mm-hmm. I have a guy right now that started with us in 2015 that is making almost 10 times more than he was making in 2015. Now, he did increase his cow herd some, but he was so bad at the beginning that there was only one way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he looked me in the eye, David, and he goes, "If you can't fix this cattle situation, I'm getting rid of him." Because he did tobacco, he worked off the farm, family, all that stuff. And now, I mean, I talked to him today, and he sold his 750 pounds. Well, they were supposed to be 750 pounds. They weighed 840. Sold them for $170-something. And that check was sitting on the table. And he goes, "That's the first time my wife's ever really thought much about the beef cattle business."
Yeah.
Because she saw it. She goes, "What is this?" And and he goes, "Well, we're going to have to use that for some of our housing tobacco. So don't
right.
get it.
Don't be running off of that."
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Money talks.
That's right. And two, I wanted to point out that this app is for a single producer. You can have multiple users.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't think we probably talked about that, and we can probably cover that some other time. But I mean, that's you know, like myself, I've got a situation where my son and I are in a partnership together, and he and I both can. He's a lot better at that technology stuff than I am. So, but he can, you know, we can get the input and information inputted, and then, you know, both of us can use the app to record stuff, because that's my part, is the work part. I don't really get into the IT part. But
yeah, all you need is the same login and same password,
right,
and you're on the farm.
Yep. And that kind of leads us right into our timely tip. We want to use reports generated from your record-keeping program to make decisions about actual production costs, culling non-performing cows, mating decisions, replacement heifer costs, and marketing decisions. I mean, that pretty well covers most of it, Les. It
covers it all.
Yeah. So I think this will be a great program for folks to use, and I encourage folks to use it. I encourage folks to get a hold of their county extension agent if they need some help. And if they need some help, they're going to get a hold of Les and try to get some of the information worked out for them. So, we encourage folks to do that for sure.
That's right.
So, well, Les, thanks for being here. We appreciate you coming and talking with us a little bit about the Extend program. And, hopefully we'll have some better news and be more people involved before long, hopefully.
I appreciate it, David and Vicki. I enjoyed coming down here. It was great.
All right. Well, thanks to Dr. Les Anderson and our host for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.